It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I can help you out there, Jim Montgomery. The reason why you look slow is because you are slow. Because in the offseason, you signed a bunch of big slow guys. And you did that so you could beat up the Florida Panthers. And instead, not only did they beat you up, they pantsed you through most of this game. I know they scored a couple of goals when it was 5-1 in garbage time. Don't care. This game was not as close as the final score will tell you. Bruins lose 6-4 in the opener. Game 1 of 82, I'm aware, okay? Before you get back on the text line, oh, Arcan, it's so early. What are you all upset about? I'm upset because I thought this was going to be different. I thought that you built a team specifically, and this is what Scott McLaughlin told us. It's not just me saying this. I thought you built a team specifically to not only beat the Florida Panthers, but to beat up the Florida Panthers. I thought that was what this whole season was going to be about. That's what this offseason was about, or I was led to believe that. And I thought that this season, from the very beginning, you get Florida day one, game one. You get to watch them raise their banner, and then you get to go out there, and you get to make up for what they were doing to you in that playoff series where Sam Bennett punches out Brad Marchand. He misses two games. You got Tkachuk in there swinging on David Pastrnak, who never even fights, and now won't fight anybody else, by the way. Tkachuk won't, even when he supposedly, according to Trent Frederick, tried to start a fight but then wouldn't actually do it. I'm all for settling scores. That first period was a disgrace. You're out there trying to settle the score. First of all, you're not even settling it. You're not laying any big hits. And they're scoring all over the place. You get one shot to their 15, and they've skated circles around you. I mean, if you're not gonna go out there and hurt anybody, then you got to at least try and skate with these guys. And they didn't do either one of those things. There was no answer for last year, and they look completely outclassed again. I know that there's a lot of hockey to play here, but these are the Bruins we're talking about, okay? These are the one-and-done Bruins, the guys who were generally just happy to make the playoffs or win a round, if that, in the playoffs. And I didn't see anything that made me feel like this year is going to be any different. In fact, it almost seemed like all the effort that went into putting a team together that can stand up to these Florida Panthers was for naught. Because that's what you saw last night.
First of all, I want to say how appropriate it is we start the bitching hour with the Bruins talk that you are so hot and bothered by. See,
I'm annoyed.
Men make you hot and bothered.
Yes.
A whole group of men.
The Bruins got me hot and bothered.
Bruins got you hot.
And the Panthers, too, for that matter. I'm hot and bothered by the whole thing.
But it was
not
almost
in a good way.
This was one of those matchups that just felt like boxing. You have boxing, and somebody prepares for a certain style.
Right.
And then they realize, oh, the other guy's not fighting the way he usually fights. And I didn't really prepare a plan B here.
I think the Panthers play the way they usually played. I don't think they did anything different. That's how they always do. They go out there, they toy with you. They kick your ass.
They toy with you.
Yeah.
And they're always one step ahead of you. They're always big brothering you. They are the Bruins' big brother. Not their daddy, their big brother. They just keep them at arm's distance. They screw with them. You know, you're taking a photo in church and they flick your ear so you react and you look like the a-hole in the photo. Like, they're always doing that little extra. And I do believe it starts with Tkachuk. I think he absolutely masterminds the Bruins. And some of this has got to be on Montgomery. Some of this has to be like the preparation.
You got to be ready to go. They were not.
They were not ready to go. I even would criticize when I hear him talking about, I like the idea of being inspired and motivated by watching another team celebrate a cup. You can't do that if you're not actually out there watching it.
Right.
Like thinking it, hearing about it, as opposed to seeing it and having maybe a feeling in the pit of your stomach that in some way motivates you, not just on that night, but on future nights. They lost out on that opportunity. And then it only makes sense. There aren't too many people on this planet. If you get the biggest and the tallest and the heaviest, they're also the fastest.
Right.
So you got bigger and you got slower, right? Like it's just kind of inherent with it. And it's what I said to Scott yesterday. Well, What if you build yourself to beat the Panthers, but then don't really play the Panthers? This is even worse than that. You played them, and you didn't beat them.
Right.
You didn't take advantage of what you thought was a newfound matchup advantage, and now you're
built
this way.
You gave up four goals in the first period.
Yes, I know. They gave up two goals before I got to watch the game because of traffic.
Yeah.
And the shots, I know you were all over this. The shot, the disproportionate shots, 15-2 or whatever the hell it was in the first period there, was eye-opening. Like, that is...
It evened out over the game, but in the beginning, that was ridiculous.
Because the game was over.
Yeah.
That's how it always works. Fouls in basketball, they tend to even out because the game's over, and then the refs make it look good late.
When you texted me, the Panthers had outshot them 14-2 in the first period.
Right. Like, that is...
And there were still, like, 5 minutes left.
That's unacceptable. Yeah. And I know we had a texter earlier was like, relax, it was banner night. Well, what does that mean? Like, so they're... Were you the generals? Were you like the willing victim? Were you just there to put on a show?
Wouldn't that motivate you more?
That's how
they beat you to get to the banner.
That's how I would look at it, especially in that, because you should have some sort of, well, if we had beaten them, maybe it would be us in Boston right now hoist it. Like, I know it doesn't work that way, but
right.
You lost to the champion. So you can talk yourself into, if we could have just beat the champion, we'd be the champions. Let's show them we should be the champions. Let's show them we're a cup contender this year. That was a miserable start to the season for what should have been more hopeful. And I know it's weird because your goalie didn't play.
Right.
But the signing of Swayman should have injected life into it. You didn't have a dark cloud hanging over you, uncertainty. And for Korpisalo to play as poorly as he did, like, he was part of the story.
Yeah.
I don't think he's kind of like Jacoby Brissett. I don't think he's the only problem, but he was certainly part of the problem.
Yeah.
In the loss,
he had a big problem with rebounds. Like, anytime there was a rebound, even when they didn't score, you saw him scrambling, looking around. He didn't know where the puck was. He couldn't reset in the net fast enough. And that ended up being a problem. I mean, they scored off of that a couple times. But in general, I think that the defense, this ballyhooed defense, wow, the defense is going to be the best ever. They were bad. They were bad, and the offense couldn't score until the very end of the game. I mean, it was the same crap as last year.
I don't know if Twitchers saw it when you brought him up in the rebounds and the face and the sort of the eye gestures you just made. That's what he was doing.
Yeah.
He had sort of like a panicked eyes. And I was like, this is the guy everybody's telling me is going to have a bounce back year, and you're paying $3 million, and he's your tandem and the mm-hmm. whole thing. Like, there was no confidence that was bred in that performance. The only confidence that was bred was, whew. Thank God we got Swayman under contract, so we don't have to see this too much.
Lewis Gross, that agent, I mean, he's probably thinking, man, I could have made way more of a cut on this.
82 minus 55 is what?
82 minus 55 is 27.
So I got 26 more of those?
Yeah.
I don't care for that.
No.
Not from what I saw, and I'm not saying every night's going to be like that. So,
and it may not
be
him either. They may shelve him and put Bussy out there. It could happen. Although you are paying this guy $3 million. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that was part of the plan.
What an overpay. I mean, I don't know. And here's Ullmark now getting paid the same amount of money that Swayman is, which I think is sort of funny in its own little way. But, like, that trade's looking worse and worse.
Did you take any positives out of last night from the Bruins?
No.
Silver linings?
Honestly, no.
Nothing.
I didn't take anything good out of that game. I didn't like anything about that game from the very beginning. At the end, they got their head out of their ass a little bit, I guess. But I think at that point, you're up 5-1 if you're Florida.
Right.
You take your foot off the gas a little bit.
They're coasting.
I thought the offense looked brutal. Zaka's goal was fine. And maybe, you know, Lindholm winning that faceoff, which led to that goal, was a nice thing. And maybe going forward, you know, Lindholm winning faceoffs is something that'll be better for this offense, especially when they're in the attacking zone. But when it came to offensively, I thought they were listless for the most part. They turned the ball over in the neutral zone a ton. And when it came to the defense, that forecheck in Florida, you know what that thing is. You know that they're good, and they're a very good forechecking team. One of the best in the league, if not the best. And you're McAvoy, Lauri, Carlo, everybody except Hampus Lindholm, basically, was out there turning the puck over like it was their job. And it was just so sloppy and so ugly and so unprepared to start an NHL season that, yeah, I have no silver lining for anything. I really don't. I think that it was, all in all, just a really lousy debut for the season for this team. And there's 81 more games to go, all right? I acknowledge that. And I think they'll get better, and I think they'll compete for the top of the Atlantic, and all that's fine. I'm talking about what happens when they have to play this team in a series again. And I didn't see anything last night that tells me they got better and are better prepared to do that.
No, I absolutely did not. But you're going to get a second chance in 6 days. Like,
right.
That's the one, I guess, silver lining. Or it could be the opposite. Because if you get your butt whooped twice in a week. Then you only have one more matchup the rest of the season. And, you know, I don't know how that relationship will go. Although, that stat that I found, and I probably should cite whoever I found it from, the fact that I think it was just in the AP game story, which I didn't even know was a thing anymore. I kind of clicked on something on ESPN. It was like,
it's like
an
written
AP
by an AI bot. Yeah.
It may have been, actually. Well, the AI bot noted that these two teams played 22 times in the last two-plus seasons, and it's resulted in 11 wins for the Panthers, 11 wins for the Bruins, 74 goals for Florida, 74 goals for Boston. So it is a dead heat, perfect split, even if it may not necessarily feel that way right now.
How many years?
Two-plus years, three years?
Two-plus year, wow. Yeah, that's
they got two playoff series in there.
Yeah, and the two playoff series of Florida won, and this one they won very easily. Who did Florida play in the conference finals? Was it the Rangers, I think? Right? They had the Rangers in the final. Yeah, so I think the Bruins could have beat the Rangers, honestly. Like, I don't think the Rangers are that good.
So you think the Bruins would have won the Cup?
Florida smoked them. And then, you know, you get to Edmonton at the end. I don't know. The Oilers probably beat the Bruins.
Probably.
You never know. I mean, by that point, we'll see what Swayman's doing.
I was going to say, your guy
that
Swayman.
Whole thing. I mean, yeah, I think that even Swayman would have a tough time with that Edmonton offense. But you know what? Florida figured it out. They figured out a way to beat that team. And that team is, talent-wise, come on. It doesn't get much more talented than the Edmonton Oilers. They just don't have much in goal, and they still made that a 7-game series, and that was a great series, by the way. But yeah, I think if the Bruins could figure out how to get past the Panthers, they could have the East. I think they could have the East. Carolina, you know, that's a good team. The Rangers are a good team. I think the Bruins could. And the problem with this is that over the last however many years, Bruins lose to the Islanders. They lose to the Hurricanes. They lose to these teams where you sort of look at it, and Carolina was a good example because they kind of punked you around for like two straight years, and it didn't seem like you could get out of that. Then you finally figure out how to handle Carolina, and here come the Florida Panthers, and it's this new problem, and it just never seems like they're the team to beat. Even when they had that great season, that great regular season, they get smoked in the first round, and it's like, okay, you know, now you have another team that's just ahead of you that you can't quite figure out. And it seems like every year there's a team like that, whether it's the Lightning, which it was for years and years, the Islanders beating you was embarrassing, Carolina, and now here it's Florida. It's always the same thing with this team. It just the team that's ahead of them changes over the years. But they're always that same sort of runner-up.
And yes, they've been the runner-up, and that's, I think, the frustration of Bruins fans. And I think that's where the Montgomery thing comes into play. The idea that he is sort of a lame duck coach right now.
Yeah.
And to come out, as confident as Scott was yesterday that they're talking, they've already begun talks, and they'll probably get something done. If you're Jim Montgomery, you don't feel good about the way your team had your back, I guess, looking for a new contract to open the season.
Right.
A team that was at least superficially built for this game, built for this one of three games where you face the Panthers during the regular season, and you go out, and they laid an egg. Like,
I know.
We can't really tiptoe around it. It's not just the goalie. It's not just the coach. It was top to bottom, laid an egg. And I guess maybe that's good. You know, sometimes that avoids the finger pointing or the fracturing. There'll be no mutiny there because everybody was a willing participant in laying an egg in this game.
True.
And then you just flush it and move on. Bury the puck under the ice like Belichick would do. Bury the puck and move on.
Yeah, and you got Montreal on Thursday, which, by the way, if you happen to be down there around TD Garden, you can come hang out with us over at Scores, formerly the Fours, right next to Sullivan's Tap there on Canal Street. You can come hang out. We'll be doing the show live from there until 6 o'clock. Right before you start walking over and getting to your seats. So come hang out with us tomorrow at Scores, right by the Garden, as we get ready for the Bruins and the Canadiens. Let me tell you this. Canadiens were garbage last year. You lose again to the Canadiens, and yeah, I know. 2 out of 82, I'm going to panic. I will panic if they lose.
Two out of 82, that's your line?
I will start
one
panicking.
One is no panic, two is panic.
Yes, because it's one is no panic because it's Florida. And I am still kind of panicking about that, but you lose to Montreal, I'm full-on panicking. Yes,
I love that
yes,
you're admitting you're kind of panicking after one game.
A little bit. I thought it was going to look different. I thought they were going to at least stand up to this team. They couldn't even do that. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got Stiz with What's Trending. We'll come back and reset on Drake May, the Patriots, and everything that's happened here. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The last 24 hours. Gerard Mayo this morning, his media availability, talking about the decision to put Drake May in at starting quarterback this weekend against the Houston Texans, how he delivered the message, how it was his decision and nobody else's. Some things in there that we may question or we may not necessarily 100% believe, especially when you go through the timeline of who knew what when and who was told what when and all of that. I think that's part of it as well. But here we are. The decision has been made. It has been set. The announcement has been made. Adam Schefter, sorry, jumped the gun a little bit yesterday when I said that. I meant the news broke. But yeah, it was not an announcement made yet. That announcement now has been made. It is out there. Drake May will be starting week 6. Mike Giardi, who we just talked to, thinks that this is proof of a team that is scrambling, of a team that's maybe a little bit desperate, a team that didn't want to necessarily put him out there this week, but now they feel like they have to. All of that's true. I think all of that's true. But I'm still glad he's playing.
Absolutely. There's no reason to. We wanted this. However we got here, and that's why I was pushing back a little bit on Giardi. It's like, however we got to what I want, we got what I want. So I can put all that water under the bridge. It's like Swayman. Water under the bridge. You got the contract you wanted. Let's move on now. Everybody happy? Like, he at least pretended, oh, I want to be a Bruin. That's all that matters. I want to be a Bruin for a long time, and that's where we are. We have Drake May playing quarterback on Sunday.
Yep.
How we got here, desperation, dumb plan, scrambling, bad O-line, blah, blah. Jacoby got screwed. All those details, just they're like the wake behind the boat. They just fall by the wayside, and we're cruising along with Drake May as captain of the ship. And for the next few days, that should be exciting and enjoyable. Because after that, I don't know what we're going to get. Like, I think, I keep reading to like the two different sides of this everywhere. Twitch chat, I get caught up in it. I get caught up in it on the text line because there's some people on there that are just ruthless. That Drake May sucks. I can't wait till he sucks. He's going to suck. He blah, blah, blah.
Going to get hurt.
Then I go to Twitter and there was some graphic and it was Matt Miller, you know, the guy who's on ESPN, sort of their draft guy. And it was a quote saying, Drake May is... he's got a little bit of Herbert, a little bit of Josh Allen, and might have a stronger arm than C.J. Stroud. And it's like, okay.
Great. Right,
now we're talking.
So he's the greatest quarterback ever.
Exactly.
That's
let's go.
He's got the, well, he's basically Tom Brady. I mean, he's, you know, Tom
Brady.
He's
one of those graphics where
if
you
could
build,
run and do all these things and all that.
You could build
the
perfect quarterback. It's like, well, we don't have to, we don't need a graphic. Just use the photo of Drake May. He's right here. Here's the perfect quarterback.
Right.
For now.
Yeah.
As of Sunday, we may change our tune at around 4:15.
But when you do that graphic with Josh Allen, you know,
then now his head is mush and you need smelling salts to wake him
that
up.
Too,
and,
yeah. By the way, he got knocked out in that game, right? And they put
certainly
him right
looked
back
like
in.
It.
I mean, he looked like he was unconscious on the field.
Ankle injury, they said.
Slammed off the ground.
Silly
bounced
other end
back
of the body.
And then there he is, right back in.
You focused on his head bouncing and him being unconscious. It was the ankle. You should have been looking down the other end of the body. That's where the issue was.
Yeah, seems like it. Anyway, that was all courtesy of the Houston Texans, who are going to be the first defense that Drake May has to plan for, study for. I'm sure they were out there doing that today. By the way, we do have the Patriots injury report.
Uh-oh.
And it's not great. I would say it's certainly not great, as I just had it up and now I've lost it, but
it happens.
I can tell you that there were some non-participants. Kyle Duggar was a non-participant, as was
Ramondre Stevenson.
Ramondre Stevenson. So that's not good. You don't want to see that. Duggar and Stevenson non-participants. Limited were Kendrick Bourne, Godchow, Marcus Jones, Nick Leverett, Vidarian Lowe, KJ Osborne, Laden Robinson, Taki Taki, and Marco Wilson. Anthony Jennings and Jonathan Jones, both full participants. And again, I mean, it's early in the week, but I don't love the idea of Ramondre Stevenson being out for a game.
But he's a backup running back.
I know.
Still. He doesn't even start anymore. Why? What are you so worried about? The starter's healthy. Gibson, let me get him out there.
Yeah, who had, what, 7 carries in that game? And by the way, the running game looked good. It's not like the running game looked bad in the last game. So, I wonder what that's going to mean, because now you got Drake May out there. You know these wide receivers and tight ends and everybody, and even some of the running backs to an extent. Gibson's a pass-catching back. These guys are all going to be thinking, all right, fine, I'm getting the ball finally. Now we're going to see, you know, what I can do and all that. They're still going to run the ball a ton.
I hope so.
Right?
I hope so. I hope they don't throw Drake May to the Wolves and say, you know what, we have such faith in you, we're going to go 75-25 split, and everything's going to be the passing game to set up the run game. No.
Not in the first quarter, but once they get down 17-0, then they're going to have to throw.
Well, maybe. You know? But stay balanced. And I think, you know, I touched on it a little bit earlier. I think all of these guys, because of the way Drake May plays, and I saw it for good and for bad in training camp, are going to be more tuned in to scramble drills, to potentially getting the ball. It's not like, oh boy, here we go, he's under pressure. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's going to be opportunities, not bad plays. It's going to be like, if I can free myself, he'll hit me. He'll throw down the field.
Yeah.
Scramble drills and things of that nature. And then from the ground game, I am intrigued to see if they go to more some zone reads and things of that nature. You know, Giardi was talking about maybe running some of the spread gun
right.
stuff that is, you know, North Carolina roots and sort of modern offenses. That could help, because we've seen the run game succeed at times, even when it's been very predictable.
Yeah.
Line up, extra tackle, tight end. We're going to pound it down your throat here. Well, how about if we see some sets where it's almost a pistol look with Stevenson, and it's some zone read, and it's not as predictable that it's going to be a power run game. That might open some opportunities for both him and Gibson, who I think really could shine in those types of roles as more of a change of pace, slasher, quick hitter. So I am way too optimistic about this right now, I feel like.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I feel like I'm setting myself up, because last week I expected a crappy game, and I got a crappy game.
We all did, yeah.
So I feel like I'm setting myself up to see more spark in the run game, more spark in the passing game, Drake May making plays, and I'm setting myself up to be disappointed.
Yeah, maybe. I do think that there's one thing that I have concerns about, and that is a young player and sort of his internal clock, you know, like that whole thing. Like, you look at Jacoby Brissett, and I don't think Jacoby Brissett was going to set the world on fire, even if he had a vintage offensive line, even if he had Brady's offensive line with Hochstein and Light and all those guys. Like, I don't think you were going to see Jacoby Brissett light it up.
Hochstein was the first guy you thought of?
Yeah, I liked Ross Hochstein. I thought he was a good
like
center.
Vintage lines, and you started with Hochstein.
Hochstein, yeah.
Not Matt Light. You
Connolly,
went to Light.
Dan Connolly is another one. Is another guy I really liked.
Wow, Steve must Neal. Be the biggest Russ Hochstein fan ever.
Right, Hochstein was a good player.
Hochstein or Hochstein?
Hochstein? I don't know. I can't pronounce his name, so I'm not that big of a
that
fan.
He was the first name on the tip of your tongue thinking
just
classic.
Popped into my head, yeah, when I was thinking about him.
No Sebastian Vollmers?
No, Vollmers another one, sure. I was thinking center since the center's out, you know, since Andrews is out and Nick Leverett was so bad. I was thinking of guys in the middle. Dan Connolly's probably a better guy to start with.
Brian
but
Wendell.
Either way, Wendell's another one. Yeah, I think that there's, even if you put Brissett behind that line or a good line, you're not seeing him go out there and set the world on fire. But
no.
When you put him behind a really bad one, then it speeds everything up. Your clock gets ruined. You're out there. You're seeing ghosts, all that stuff. And when you have a young quarterback, and this is sort of what Orlovsky was saying, when you have a young quarterback, those are fundamentals. Those are things that are still kind of developing in the player's mind, right? As they get acclimated to the NFL. And you don't want to have him out there not, I don't want to say ruining him, because ruining him implies something bigger than this, but you don't want him to go out there and all of a sudden all that stuff's off, and then you have to get the rest of the season to try and reacclimate him to what this job is and how to do it. You know, like that's sort of the problem. I think that Brissett, as limited as he may be, was better than what we saw here in these first 5 weeks. I do think that.
I think the theory was he's going to be better. I don't think he's a great quarterback. I mean, he's not a great quarterback. The question is he even an average or good quarterback? Is he worthy of starting? And he didn't look like he was worthy of starting the last couple weeks.
No.
Like, then that's why he's no longer starting, because they've made a change to the more athletic guy. The thing I question, the old Parcellian, he doesn't know what he doesn't know.
Right.
That might be a bonus for Drake May.
Could help.
Just go out there. And he's probably thinking, yeah, I know everybody says the line kind of stinks, and I saw Jacoby get hit, but my line kind of stunk at North Carolina. I made the best of it. I, you know, I'm an athlete. I'm a competitor. And I also, the other thing that jumped into my mind, because I do think he comes from a good place family-wise,
right,
and that they are coming to the game. I do wonder how that goes. Because you remember those videos that made the rounds post-draft? And I think his brothers called him a bitch or something. Like, everybody else was like, we're so proud of you. And they're like, you're a bitch.
Yeah, no, that was, they were making fun of that Christian Laettner 30
yeah.
for 30.
Yeah.
Where they were like different words to describe him. They were like, bitch.
Bitch.
That was
and
funny.
I wonder, in all seriousness, like Saturday night, do they go out to dinner with him or get a chance to see him, whatever, and they maybe can say something that just kind of lightens the mood and puts him in the right place mentally. Like, yeah, I'm still just their little brother, and no matter what happens tomorrow, they're going to crap all over me. I could throw for 300 and beat CJ Stroud, and they're going to call me a bitch.
Still a bitch, yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? I wonder if having them before this game could just sort of slap him in the face and give him like a, hey, yeah, it's just football. Go out there and be their little brother.
Probably couldn't hurt. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to the phones here. We'll
the
talk
text
to...
line is picked up on you. What? Not Logan Mankins or Nate Solder
no,
or Joe
No,
Tune.
No.
You
None
said
of those guys.
Russ Hochstein.
Russ Hochstein.
First.
Whoever.
For vintage Patriots line.
That's right. My man, Hochstein clan.
He should be
Hochstein
so proud.
Clan.
He should be so proud somewhere if he heard this, like... Did that guy say my name
yes,
for
he
a classic
did.
Vintage Patriots?
And he may have mispronounced it, but he did. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to the phones. David's in the car. Go ahead, David.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. So I know the more I think, I'm excited about Drake May if he's going to start on Sunday. I am. I'm looking forward to. But I don't blame Brissett because, yeah, Brissett's not great. He's an average quarterback. And unfortunately, he has a coach who never coached before. So that's...
Oh, we're losing you, David. I'm going to pop you on hold. We'll try and get back to you. Let's go to James in Rhode Island. Go ahead, James.
Hey, how you doing? I admire you guys' work. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you, James.
This is not Patriots related. I just think there's going to be a New York coaching massacre by the end of October. It started with Saleh, and if the Yankees fail to get to the World Series, I think you're going to see Boone go. I think you're going to see Cashman go. I think you're going to see the Giants coach, Debo, go by the end of October. The only manager in New York, I think, left standing by Thanksgiving will be the Mets manager.
All right.
I just wanted to throw that in.
Thank you, James. And you know what? Normally I wouldn't even let a call like that on because who cares? But it was bad stuff about the New York teams, and I'll allow it. I'll allow that to proceed.
And it could be good stuff for the New England teams because if at that point we've decided we're not so sure Alex Van Pelt is a long-term offensive coordinator and Brian Daboll becomes available.
Or Brian Debo, as he calls him.
Debo, Daboll, whatever. That guy. The guy with the beard and the bald head who helped build Josh Allen, if he wants to come help build Drake May, I'll listen.
Yeah, I'll take a listen as well. Let's try Paulie and Dedham. Go ahead, Paulie.
Hey, what's going on, guys? You know, Russ Hochstein, that's isn't that Warren Sapp's favorite offensive guy?
Yep.
I think so. That's why we always remember him.
Yep.
Yeah, no Bruins Bulldogs last night. I'll tell you that. It's like what he likes to say, Montgomery, Bulldogs, before he goes out the dressing room.
They were chihuahuas yesterday, I thought.
Yeah, they're Flores in our head. There's no question about it. They're in that team. I would have kicked his ass.
I mean, he probably would have, yes.
I enjoyed watching that.
Okay. I would have rather he actually beat him up, but whatever.
No, Arcand and Jumbo Hot. Last year when Jonesy got caught at the airport with all those guns, all right, I said, get rid of him. Trade him right away. Call Petey in Seattle, whoever, anywhere, somebody across the country. Train them, get rid of them. So tell them you're doing them a favor. You're going to send them as far away as you possibly can. And they didn't. They held on to them, and they end up having to cut them. Same thing with this guy. Move him. Get rid of him. Unless he's got videotape inside and outside the house that exonerates him, get rid of him. Move him now. As a captain, acting like that, you know, everybody's sleeping late at night, and he's up partying all night. Getting ready for a must-win game.
Well, he wasn't going to play that game. Thanks for the call, Paul. I appreciate it. I don't think you can trade somebody when they're on the exempt list. Right?
I don't think so.
And even if you could.
Who's going to trade
for him? Who's trading for this guy that's accused? Well, first of all, admitted he had cocaine in his wallet and also is accused of something very, very bad. With the Jack Jones, you weren't going to trade him either. But at the very least, that whole thing got handled quickly enough in court. You know, like they were able to figure all that out and Rosie did her thing and it was all over with. This thing's just starting. You're not going to trade him now. Like, there's no way.
Plus, he just signed a new contract. What was it? 3 years, $24 million, $6 million. If it goes down any road, it's probably going to go down some road of them trying to get their signing bonus money back and void the contract.
Yeah, right. I mean, there may be some clause in the contract about that. I could see that happening. But, yeah, no one's going to trade for him, and you're not going to be able to even attempt to trade him while he's on the exempt list. I just don't think it works
like that. They could cut him. If you want to just distance yourself from him and think it's that bad and you believe the accusations are true, then you probably should consider cutting him and then pursuing the money down the road. But, yeah, no one's going to trade for him.
No, nobody is going to trade for him. And I think that this is worse than Jack Jones. Like, Jack Jones, we knew, sort of had behavioral problems. He was a fourth-round pick. He was a talented kid, obviously. He dropped in the draft. And he made a pretty dumb mistake, but no one got hurt. You know, it wasn't the crime of the century. It was pretty stupid what he did. What Jack Jones did was very stupid, I think. But it wasn't a violent crime. It wasn't a potentially violent thing.
The accusations
thing.
Like, are strangled six times, threw down a flight of stairs.
Smashed her into a wall.
Ripped her clothes off. And I'm not saying they're true. I'm just saying the allegations are bad.
Yeah, they certainly are. All right, one more call before the break. Jay is in the car. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, just wondering, are the coaches going to get credit for keeping May on the bench? Or are they going to get blamed for keeping him on there too long? What do you think?
Good question.
Blame.
I think they will be blamed for it if he's good. If he's good, people are going to say, what the hell? What were you keeping him on the bench for? Do any of you know how to evaluate a quarterback? Do any of you know anything? What the hell is this about? Why did you wait so long? This could have been a season, and I'm starting to get there already, and he hasn't even played yet. You're 1-4, okay? This season is not over, but it's over. And even if Drake May comes in and he's good, he's going to have growing pains, obviously. He's not going to go out there and dominate every week, I don't think. Even if he goes out there and has a pretty good season, you're still already trying to dig out of a hole to start off with. So, yeah, no one expected this to be a season. But if it looks like it could have been, if you had started Drake from the first for the first week, then, yeah, I'll be annoyed by that. You should be annoyed by that. That is a misevaluation on the part of this team.
Plus, it's just 5 games of experience and 5 games of learning and becoming a better football player, to steal the words of his own head coach. Yeah, the optimistic view I have that he's going to make some plays, he's going to do some good things regardless of the outcome of the game or however I think they're going to be blamed, and people are going to be saying, hey, he looks pretty competitive. I feel like he could have been out there, I don't know, a month and a half ago on the first day of the season, and maybe he'd be a better quarterback now, and maybe we steal games that they didn't win, or who knows, maybe he makes plays. Maybe the culture's different. Maybe Pop Douglas isn't popping off. Maybe everything's different. Because we all know, it's not just about wins, losses, and stats.
Right.
Quarterback changes the feel, the vibe, like Jaden Daniels. Suddenly Washington is cool, right? They haven't been cool for, I don't even know when the last time they were cool was.
Mark Rippon?
Like a long time
ago. Were they cool
ago.
Back? Were they even cool when Mark Rippon played there? I don't know. Maybe Doug Williams?
Right. They're cool now.
Yeah.
They're rumored to be trading for wide receivers that are available. Jaden Daniels is when I see him, the people are talking MVP candidate.
They were cool that first RG3 year. That was cool.
For a short stint.
That was
You're
cool,
right. That was a short window.
And then it was over.
But they haven't been that cool for a long. If anything, they've been kind of toxic on and off the field.
Yeah. 100%.
So the quarterback has changed everything.
Absolutely. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. We'll come back and wrap things up with Odds and Ends. Time for Odds and Ends, brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or call 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS. Odds and Ends today, we got some media to discuss. Not only was there a new episode of the Aaron Hernandez American Sports Story show on FX, and I think maybe the best one so far.
Really?
Patriots-wise, I mean, there's all the Patriots stuff. There's a scene with Belichick rocking out to Bon Jovi in his office, which is just chef's kiss, great. And there was also the Rob Gronkowski thing, which we'll play that for you in a second as well. Also, Netflix has released a trailer for their upcoming, is it a series or is it just one?
I think it's three.
You might be right.
It's a three-part miniseries about 2004, the Boston Red Sox, 2004, reversing the curse, etc., which, over the years, there's been lots and lots and lots of media about that. There was 4 days in October. There was all those DVDs, which came out, by the way, Mike, back there, a DVD is a small disc that you can put into a DVD player, and then it plays something on your TV, like a movie.
I'm still pretty old.
Okay,
I
just wasn't sure.
You stop by Redbox and you pick it up.
Right. DVD, I mean, it may be might as well be talking about
Netflix. You know, Netflix actually started. They mailed you DVDs.
It's true, and you had to mail them back. Yeah, it was pretty dumb.
And you had to know the system as when to request the new ones if you requested it to get it, or otherwise you'd have to wait a while.
Put them in the queue. Yeah,
the whole thing. It was. Kids don't even.
Hey,
know.
I remember Blockbuster too.
Oh wow,
no, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Did you go to Alaska or wherever that one place is?
There's one left in like Portland, Oregon.
Make sure you rewind it before you bring it back.
Yeah, you better. Otherwise, you're in trouble. Anyways,
so it is a. I looked it up. It's an electrifying 3-episode docuseries on Netflix that premieres October 23rd.
Sam Kennedy write that blurb. It's electric. It's freaking electric.
Hey, it's what it says. I'm just reading what it says.
Yes, very good. Anyway, it's about the 2014. There's also one coming out about this past year's team, which. That's, I don't know. I mean, I'll watch it because I might be in it.
There's a
couple of times where, well, what else are you going to watch it for? What, do I want to watch this team blow it again in August?
I sit here and look at you for 4 hours every freaking day. I don't want to see you on my TV screen.
Well, then don't watch it. I'm probably not going to, except for the parts that I'm in, if we're being honest here. That was not a very fun season, I don't think, and it ended up being another second half collapse and missed the playoffs when every team in the world's making the playoffs. So, yeah, that I'm not into that one. And I also think there's been way too much stuff about the 2014, but I haven't watched any in a while, so let's see how this trailer sounds.
Those 2 years, 03 and 04.
Wild, crazy.
Oh my God.
None like it.
We had the fans, we had the tradition, we had the stories, we had the ballpark, everything except the championships.
All the odds are against you.
Can you believe it?
The Yankee Red Sox has always been called the greatest rivalry in sports.
This is 86 years of pain and heartache for Red Sox fans.
Our intense focus was on how do we turn this organization around.
Red Sox, baby!
When you're at the top of the mountain, people are looking to knock you off.
World champions, team of the decade.
Yankees suck, let's go!
Boston fans, they don't know what it's like to be on a winning club.
Dropped by Damon!
That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Really? We're just going to be another in the long line of teams that fall short.
That curse was just lingering.
We hadn't won. The only way to make it go away is to finally win.
The Red Sox decided to compete player for player, dollar for dollar.
Let's go.
From that point on, I got hot.
David Ortiz Jackson.
Cowboy up, son.
That's us. Just a bunch of goofballs.
Sox! The Yankees are clean shaven, good looking, rich.
He had a bloody sock.
It was a nightmare.
Yankees have pounded their way 3-0.
All right, I've heard enough. ALCS. I know how this ends. I know how it goes. That's a pretty good trailer, and I'm watching the clips here. If you're watching on Twitch, you can see the clips that they're using. I saw Mike Francesa in there.
Yeah.
Young Theo is sort of jarring to see him there on like that old computer tapping away and everything else. I mean, that was an era. That was a moment for sure. And it's one that I still, even though it was 20 years ago, I still remember pretty well coming back from college for the parade and just the way the city was and how everyone was buzzing about this team and what a tremendous accomplishment that was to come back from the 3-0 and everything else. I mean, it was a great, great thing. It's a little interesting that there doesn't seem like there's a lot added to it. You know, it's been 20 years. It's almost like, hey, remember this?
Do you want them to add?
Remember when this happened? I don't know. I mean,
it's history.
All the behind the scenes stuff I feel like has been walked over, like we've seen it already. So it just kind of seems like it's a 20-year anniversary reminder that this thing happened and wasn't it great, and let's all remember it. You know,
I'm ready
just
for it.
More reminiscing. When I feel like we've been doing, not so much lately, but certainly over the years, there's been a lot of this already.
We took a break, though. I feel like I'm ready for it.
I'm ready for that.
And much as I've been bitching to you during breaks here about how there's too much of everything, too many podcasts, too many docu-series and all this crap, this feels like it's far enough away to relive it, to revisit it, and I'm ready.
You think people are going to watch this outside of Boston?
No.
I mean, like, people in Boston may not watch it.
No.
You know, like this.
But that's how I look at it.
I don't know how
well
this thing's going to do, honestly.
I didn't know how watched the Patriots Dynasty series was outside of Boston. Like, I had my doubts about, is this for only fans?
Only
not
fans?
Only fans, but only fans of the team, or is it really have a wide
OnlyFans.com/JumboHeart.
Think I can
I'll
make
show you
money?
What the jumbo means.
It's just him and the visors.
Just the visor?
The visor
just
stays
the visor.
On, yeah.
But I see all these videos where these women claim they make like $1 million in like 7 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah, some do. Like, but what people...
The ones Stiz subscribes to, definitely.
That's right.
Do.
Feet only.
Throwing it in, yeah.
No, but what people overlook is that it's a small fraction of the people that get on OnlyFans. You know what I mean? I think it's like the top 1% earn that type of money.
And okay.
Girls, mostly girls, I don't mean to single them out, but girls are joining these things every day with the hopes of becoming the next, you know, Bella Thorne, and it doesn't work like that.
But can you really do it by just putting your feet on there? Like, you don't even really have to, like, prostitute any, you know.
Some do. I mean, there are some.
You got to be pretty famous to get, like, big feet money, I think, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're just like, some rando, like it's like, who cares,
exactly.
You know? Like, if you're a name, if you're someone out there who's like, you know, what's her name from The Sopranos? Didn't she start one? Drea De Matteo from The Sopranos?
Yeah.
She did one, and she made, like, $1 million in 10 minutes. And, like, that's a big name, all right? This is someone who we know who's kind of famous already doing this.
What about my feet?
I'm taking a look at your feet. I couldn't tell you.
I don't like feet. I don't even like my own
feet. I'm not a feet guy.
I think feet are disgusting.
Yeah.
But if I could put my feet out there and make $1 million, you can have my feet. You can cut them off. I don't
Absolutely.
Care.
Absolutely. We used to joke about this with Mego. And then Mega would always be like, oh, I have the grossest feet ever. And she does have gross feet. And then the text line would just be like, doesn't matter. Want to see him. Would pay any amount of money to see Mego's feet. Let me see Mego's feet. I need Mego's feet. Blah, 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 blah. I would just go on and on and on. For the rest of the show, into the night show, I'm sure Keith was getting the feet texts and tweets. It was just that kind of thing. Anyway, before we leave, last night was another episode. The first very Patriots-centric episode of the Aaron Hernandez Show on FX. And we were introduced to Rob Gronkowski, and I don't know who this guy playing him is, but boy, did he get this voice.
Aaron. What's up, bro?
Hey.
I'm Rob. They call me Gronk.
They call me Aaron.
You meet Coach yet?
Nah, not yet.
That dude is f***ing scary, bro.
Come on, guys, let's go.
Holy shit, that's Tom Brady.
Bro, no shit. Let's go, baby. Let's go. Get high, baby. Cool.
So the actor's name, I don't know what it is with the actor's names in this series. The actor playing Gronk is Laith Walschlager. That's the guy's name.
Laith Walschlager.
L-A-I-T-H Walschlager.
He's got that Buffalo accent down perfect.
Oh, he nailed it.
I mean, he sounded just like him. He doesn't look like him that much, like a little bit. You know, he looks like a guy playing a guy, but they didn't make him up to look like Gronkowski.
Right.
But he got the voice down perfect.
He nailed it.
Yeah.
What are the odds that Bill Belichick really did that in his office? Would turn on Bon Jovi at
just start rocking
ignorant
out?
Levels and just start
no,
rocking
no,
out?
No, I think there's a good chance.
Really?
He once followed Bon Jovi all over Europe in his early coaching days.
Yeah, I heard on Edelman's podcast Bon Jovi.
So I wouldn't put it past him to blare it.
Because that's what I wonder. Like, are they taking this from some sort of reports or some, you know what I mean? Or are they
it's
just
based
like
off of that Globe podcast, the Gladiator podcast about Hernandez. So I don't know if this, you know, all the other little details about Belichick rocking out the Bon Jovi are accurate, but I mean, it sounds like that was something.
It's a possibility.
Absolutely.
It's at least believable.
Yeah.
I mean, as believable as anything else in this docuseries.
Yeah, sure.
I think.
And that's what it is. I mean, it's historical fiction, basically, is what we're watching right now. And I'm watching the hell out of this thing. I know people are talking about how bad it is. I love it. I can't get enough
of it. I like it too.
It's not, I don't want to say it's good, but I love it. That's really all there is to say. All right. Who do we got coming up tonight?
KJ and Lions.
And Lions. And I believe it is a full show because it's Wednesday, right? Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
KJ and Lions taking you from 6 until 10. Stick around right here on WEEI. We'll be back tomorrow at 2, live from Scores down by the Garden. Come hang out with us. We'll be there 2 till 6 as we get ready to watch the Bruins take on the Canadians. Hope it's a better game. We'll see you down there tomorrow at 2 right here on WEEI.
See you. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.